This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with our series called Doing Business with God. In this series, Rick helps you understand why you work, what you should be working for, and how God can use you in your workplace. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called Standing Out at Work.
This last week, I showed a letter to my staff that was written 10 years ago. And it was a letter telling me from the publisher of Zondervan, by the head publisher there, the head editor, guy editing my book, that Purpose Driven Life was a terrible book and that it would never sell. And I sent him the original manuscript. And I got this letter, I preserved the letter, and he systematically goes through the book and says, these are all the things wrong why it won't sell. It's got 40 chapters. Nobody reads 40 chapters. It doesn't have enough stories in it. And I said, I'm not putting stories in it because I want it to be an international book and I don't want it to just be for Americans. He said, it's got too many scriptures in it. I said, I trust the scripture more than my words. And he had a whole list of things. It's choppy here and on and on and on. And I wrote him back. And I had to say, you know what? I value your opinion. And I showed the staff the letter that I sent back to him. I value your opinion. But I believe this is the way I'm supposed to do it. And I believe I've been directed by God to do it. And if you don't want to do it this way, that's okay. I'll take the book back. I'll publish it myself. You don't have to publish it. We don't have a contract yet. And I basically held the line. And they came back, oh, no, we want to publish it. Are they glad today? But sometimes you just have to go with a little bit of audacity because God has told you Joseph had a dream. So let me ask you this question. Where do you need to be audacious? I'm not talking about arrogant. I mean audacious. Where do you need to believe God? Where do you need to trust God? Where do you need to step out in faith? Where do you need to think big? Where do you need to take initiative? Where do you need to show risks? Take risks. This is the first characteristic of Joseph. And you see it, if I had time to take you through his entire lifetime, where he makes one audacious decision after another in faith. And as a result, he got the promotion of a lifetime. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the second key to getting promoted is not audacity, it's likability. Likability. People have to like you if you're going to get promoted. People trust you if they like you. If they don't trust you, they're not. If they don't like you, they're not going to trust you. And by the way, I tell this to preachers and to teachers. If you want people to listen to you, first they got to like you. They're not going to listen unless they like you. If they like you, they'll listen. If they don't like you, it doesn't matter how good it is, they're not going to listen. So likability is the second quality for being promoted. Now, the Bible doesn't use the word likability. It uses the word favor. It also uses the word honor. And it says, if you do these things, you'll have the favor of God and men. If you do these things, you'll be favored by men. If you do these things, you'll be honored by men. You'll be respected by men. You'll be likable. On each of these six traits, I could have given you 50 or 60 verses out of the book of Proverbs, but the sermon would be 2 hours long. So I just kept it to Joseph. But this concept of likability is all through Scripture. Now, a lot of people think that likability is just a matter of personality. You're either a likable person or you're not. You're either born with it or you're not. Nothing could be further from the truth. Likability is not personality, it's character. It's choice. It's behavior. It's how you choose to relate to other people. Do you want to be liked by other people? Here's the big secret. Okay, I'm going to tell you the big secret. How do I be liked by other people? Here's the secret. Like them. That's it. If you like people, guess what? They're going to like you. If you don't like people, they're not going to like you. We like people who like us. It's not rocket science, folks. To be likable, you just have to like people. You have to genuinely enjoy them. That's not personality. That's character. It's a choice. It's choosing to be interested in others, choosing to not think about yourself, choosing to be interested in their lives, things like that. Here's a definition of likability. You might write this down. Possessing the attractive attitudes, and those are choices, and the relational skills that cause others to want to work with me. That's likability. You have the certain attitudes and you have the certain skills that cause people to go, I want to work with that woman. I want to work with that guy. They're fun to work with. I enjoy being around them. They're likable. And if you are likable, then you have the attractional or attractive attitudes and the relational skills that cause people to go, I want to team up with that person. I want to hitch my wagon to that star. And those are important things. Now, here's a good example. Joseph in Genesis 39, verses 2 to 4. Joseph lived at the home of Potiphar, his Egyptian owner. Soon, Potiphar realized that the Lord was helping Joseph to be successful in whatever he did. Potiphar took a liking, circle that, took a liking to Joseph. He was likable. He took a liking to Joseph and he made him his personal assistant. Now he takes a guy who starts off as a slave. He's probably cleaning toilets and taking out garbage and stuff like that. And Potiphar notices, this guy's good. He's really good. He's audacious, but he's good. And he's good, and he takes a liking to him, and so what's he do? He gets promoted. What's he get promoted to? His personal assistant. This is not a bodyguard. This is the guy who's running his household. He's his manager. He's his vice president. He's the guy in charge of everything. He's the COO of Potiphar, Inc. He took a liking to Joseph and made him his personal assistant. Now, he says, when we talked about likability means you got to have attractive attitudes. What are attractive attitudes? They're the attitudes that attract people to you. How about this one? Is humility attractive? Oh, yeah. Do you like being around egotists or humble people? Humble people, right? Yeah. So when a person is humble, then you like to be around them. How about cheerfulness? Would you rather be around somebody who's cheerful or a hag? No. You know, you don't want to be around somebody who's nagging you all the time and, you know, just negative, grumpy, grouchy. Do you wake up grouchy in the morning? No, I usually let him sleep. You know, that's the bottom line is we want to be around cheerful people. We want to be around optimistic people. We want to be around helpful people. We want to be around humble people. We want to be around empathetic people. When you tell, you say, you know, I'm not really feeling good today. Oh, that's too bad. That doesn't make any friends. Somebody goes, oh, I'm really sorry. You know, what's going on? And they're empathetic. Is empathetic an attractive attitude? Yes. And when you find somebody at work who's empathetic to your stress, when you're empathetic with your boss's stress, guess what? You're likable. Bosses like people who are empathetic to their stress, who understand, who look at it not from their viewpoint, but from somebody else's viewpoint. When you help somebody else succeed, then you're gonna be likable. And when you're likable, you're gonna go far. Those of you who are younger, two things I would give you as advice, just starting out in a career, in your job, in your vocation. One is, whatever job you get into, find as many mentors as you can. A young person in a business who has four mentors is almost unfireable, because those four mentors are gonna stand up for you no matter, even if you really make a mess. So you get some defensive backs in there who are older than you, who will stand up for you, who will run and block and tackle for you. And if you get three or four mentors in a business, you're gonna go far, because not only are they gonna protect you from being fired, but they are going to likely help you get promoted because they see themselves in you. Another thing is, if you find somebody in the business who looks like they're going far, hitch your wagon to them. Hitch your wagon to a superstar and you'll go along the ride with them. So you gotta have likability. Joseph was liked. Number three, the third key to getting promoted is capacity. Not audacity, but capacity. Now, capacity is the amount of abilities that you've got, and if you're already using all of your abilities, you're not going to get promoted. If you're a four-cylinder person, that's all you've got the capacity for, and you got a four-cylinder job, you're not going to get promoted. But if you keep developing and you keep growing and you keep learning and learning and learning and sharpening your skills, then you become an eight-cylinder or 12-cylinder person, and you're still in a four-cylinder job, you're going to get promoted because you have more capacity. You got to show that you've got the capacity to do more. Let me give you a definition of this third quality. Capacity is my potential for growth. My potential for growth. What is your potential for growth? Or are you just going to be the same 10 years from today as you are right now? You going to read any books between now and the next 10 years? You going to take any seminars? You going to grow? You going to develop any skills? You going to learn any relationship skills? It is the potential for growth. It is the desire to keep learning. That's what capacity is. The desire to keep learning. Why? So I can increase in competence and so I can handle greater responsibility. I have a friend who walked into a church one time. He was following a pastor who'd been there for many, many years, like 20, 30 years. And this guy went as a young guy and he walked in and here was the staff. And he drew a line on the board and he wrote 1,000 because the church was running about 1,000 in attendance. And then he drew another line that said 2,000. He wrote out here. And he said, now, I know you all have the capacity to take a church to 1,000 in attendance and to love and to care for and to help and manage a church that size, because you're already doing it. We got a church of 1,000. What I don't know is, do you have the capacity to take the church to 2,000? And are you willing to learn and grow and develop your capacity so you can? We have staff who've been in our church now for almost 30 years, who've been with me, almost 30 years. Why? The number one characteristic of staff that has stayed all these years is the ability to keep growing and learning to do new things. Not doing the same thing I've always done, but to do new things and new things and newer things and grow. And all leaders are learners. The moment you stop learning, you stop leading. Growing businesses require growing people. The moment you stop growing, then the business can't grow. So you've got to have capacity. My potential for growth, the desire to keep learning so I increase in competence and handle greater and greater responsibilities. Now, this is what happened with Joseph. And if I had time, I'd show you how he keeps growing in capacity. First he does this, then he's able to do 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 this. And he keeps stretching himself and he keeps learning and growing. He's not the same guy he was 10 years before. He's somebody totally different because he's got capacity and he's growing and growing. Look at Genesis 39. Joseph naturally became quite a favorite with Potiphar. Soon, Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his entire household and entrusted him with all of his business dealings. And from the day that Joseph was put in charge, from that day, the Lord began to bless Potiphar for Joseph's sake. Let me stop right there. Is God blessing the business you work for your sake? Is that blessing, is that church, that business, that organization, Is that church or blessing or organization or business prospering because you're there? Is God blessing that business for your sake? Are you that kind of person? Do you have that kind of capacity? Joseph was put in charge, and the Lord began to bless Potiphar for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs began to run smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. Why? Because Joseph had capacity. Now, I'm going to tell you, when Joseph was a slave and taken to Egypt, he wasn't able to handle all that stuff. He had to grow in that. He had to learn how to manage livestock. He had to learn how to manage a household. He had to learn. If you keep learning, you'll keep growing, and God will keep blessing. But if you stop learning, And you think, well, that's all I need to know. You don't learn any new skills. You don't take it on yourself to keep growing. It's not going to happen. Your limited capacity. Okay, number four. The fourth key to getting promoted, we find in the next few verses of Joseph's life, is reliability. Reliability. Audacity, likability, capacity, reliability. Now, of all people, Christians should be the most reliable people in the workplace. Everybody agree with that? We ought to be the most dependable. We ought to be the most trustworthy. We ought to be the most consistent, the most stable, the most not flaky, steady, consistent people. Christians should be known for that person's reliable. If they say it, you can count on it. If they say they'll do it, it'll get done. It may take them, you know, extra hours or whatever, but it will get done because that person is reliable. The Bible says reliable communication permits progress. Here's the definition of reliability. Earning the trust of others. How? By always keeping my promises and fulfilling my responsibilities, even if it requires sacrifice. That's reliability. Keeping my promises, fulfilling my responsibilities, even if it requires sacrifice. In other words, this project was given to me and the boss tells me it can be done in 10 hours. And at 10 hours, I'm only halfway through it. And I'm gonna have to put in the extra time at personal sacrifice to me. Am I reliable? Am I gonna get it done? Sorry, it's his job. He should have given it to me sooner. He should have given it to me earlier. He should have given it to me a month ago. Yeah, okay, maybe that's right. Maybe you're exactly right. But reliability means I get it done even if it means personal sacrifice for me. And that earns the trust of other people. Genesis 39:6 tells us this. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. This guy was a slave a few minutes ago. With Joseph there, Potiphar didn't have a worry in the world except to decide what he wanted to eat. How'd you like to have a job like that? I'm CEO. What do you have to decide? Where are we having lunch? What else? Nothing. Why? Because Joseph's handling it. Wait a minute. You're getting all the profit. He's making all the decisions. Yeah. What decision do you have to make? I only have to make one decision. What is it? What do I want to eat? Really? That's it? That's all you? Now, I trust this guy so implicitly. I trust this guy's reliability. I trust his dependability. I trust his trustworthiness so much. The only decisions I've left to me is, what do I want to eat today? Every other single decision is being made by Joseph, the slave I bought, who came from another country. I trust this guy that much. That is a huge promotion. Every single decision Potiphar had to make, and he's a very wealthy man. And this phrase here, he didn't have a worry, no worries, that's about the greatest compliment a boss could pay you. You don't have to worry about it. Why? Because she's handling it. You worried about that coming in? No, why? Because he's got it taken care of. The greatest compliment a boss can pay you is, I'm not worried. That is the greatest compliment a boss can pay, because it says, I would trust them with my life. They are reliable. They are dependable. They are trustworthy. They are steady and stable. They are not flaky. They are reliable. I can count on them. And that's why Joseph kept getting promoted, because his bosses later on, each of his lives, could say, I trust this guy with my life. When he was working for the warden in the prison, it says Joseph had favor with the prison warden. And the warden put the entire prison under Joseph's care. So you got a prisoner running the prison? Yeah. And what did the warden have to worry about? What am I going to eat today? This man knew how to be reliable. He kept his word, even if it meant personal hurt, personal loss, personal sacrifice, and he got it done. He fulfilled his responsibilities. That is what gets promoted. Capacity, responsibility, reliability. Number five. The fifth character quality we see in Joseph's life is, and it's fifth key to getting promoted, is loyalty. Loyalty. And Joseph demonstrates this one in black and white starkness when the chips are down. Loyalty is a quality that is in short supply in our society today. Nobody is loyal to anything anymore. There's no such thing as brand loyalty. It's what's cheapest. And people aren't loyal to companies or to bosses or to leaders. They're loyal to themselves. It's an old-fashioned quality, but it's a quality that's so rare that when you find it in somebody, that person gets promoted. Now, when it comes to loyalty, one of the keys to loyalty is you don't talk about your boss behind her back. You don't talk about your boss behind his back. That's called loyalty. Disloyalty, there's another word for disloyalty, gossip. The Bible says God hates gossip. If you ever want to do a study, study the word gossip through the book of Proverbs and write down all the negative things God thinks about gossips. Gossips, God can't stand gossips. God detests, God despises gossips. And he goes on and on and on about it. And he says, it destroys families, it destroys lives, it destroys nations, and on and on and on. Now, let me just tell you something you already know. If you work in an office, there are no secrets in an office. Quickest way to get something spread is say, this is confidential. Put that on an email, and guess what? It'll be on Twitter in 5 seconds or Facebook. This is confidential. There are zero secrets in a workplace. Why? Because knowledge is power, and people like to think they have power by sharing knowledge with other people that they're not supposed to share it with. So I'm telling you this. Since there are no secrets at an office or at a workplace, if you're talking about your boss, he knows it. He already knows it. Because there are no secrets in an office. It gets out. And people who gossip to you, you take this one to the bank, will gossip about you. Anybody who gossips to you will also gossip about you. And the Bible says, if you listen to gossip, you are as bad as the gossiper. Do you know that in California, in fact, in most of the United States, it is a crime to accept stolen goods? In fact, the penalty for accepting buying stolen goods that you know are stolen, ripped off, pirated, is the same penalty as the person who stole it. Gossip deals in stolen goods. It's stolen information, it's stolen reputation. And when you accept it, you are as guilty as the gossiper, God says. So you don't want to get involved in that one. You want to be loyal. Loyal people don't gossip. Now, here's a definition of loyalty I wrote down for you. Loyalty, in particular at work, is being faithful to my boss and to God when difficulty tests my commitment. Being faithful to my boss and to God when difficulty tests my commitment. Now, circle the word difficulty. Because it's easy to be loyal when everything's going great. When we're not having to lay anybody off, and when there's tons of money, and we're making a great profit, and things are going well, everybody's happy. Everybody's loyal when things are going great. But when the ship goes into the storm, that's where real loyalty comes out. Friends walk in when everybody else walks out. Those are real friends. And when you're down, truly loyal people don't kick you. Loyal people are there not just in bad and good times and easy times, they're there in bad times. And I will tell you this, because God's more interested in your character than your career, your loyalty will be tested.
That was Pastor Rick Warren with his current series, Doing Business with God. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
You know, as we close today, I just want to say thank you for joining me in today's broadcast. I want to encourage you in another way
through my free Daily Hope devotionals. Are you getting those? These Daily Hope devotionals are a summarization of many of the things that I teach on the broadcast. All you got to do is just go to my website, and you can sign up for the daily devotionals. They're free. They'll be delivered free to your inbox 7 days a week. And I want to help you in this other way. It's another way of reinforcing your spiritual growth. Thanks for listening today. We love you. We thank God for you. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
To sign up for the daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.